Push this button. I've done that. I'm supposed to. I didn't get a light.
Got it right, brother.
I didn't put it in the right place.
No, you didn't.
Okay. Am I standing in the right place? Is the mic on this one on here?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to start off this morning by telling you that you owe me a little bit of time this morning. Because when I was doing the presentation, I looked over at the clock, and I saw it said 10:05. And when I saw that 10:05, I thought, I've already gone 5 minutes over. Because I'm thinking we started at 9 o'clock. And so I rushed through that report, and I got us out of here at, it was 10:14 this morning. When really I had a little bit more time because we actually started at 9:30. We didn't start at 9 o'clock. So none of you told me that though. You didn't say, Brother High, you don't really need to rush because you have a few more minutes. So I'm going to take that time back this morning as I preach because you actually owe me that time. And those of you who are clocking me this morning, you're watching me with your watch. I'll tell you when to start timing me, okay? These are called the preliminary marks, so they do not count on the sermon time, okay? So I'll tell you when you can start your clocks. This morning I do bring you, and these are the preliminary remarks as well, okay? I bring you greetings this morning from the Congregation of God's People, located in Linda Vista, Villanueva, Guatemala, where I have an opportunity to serve as a full-time missionary. And the congregation here, you support our work, and we appreciate that. You allow us to do what we do there on a full-time basis, and they send their greetings. Byron and Snashana as well, they send their greetings to you. He is this morning actually in Cheyenne, where he made the presentation and will be preaching at this hour. And then Snashana is still in Guatemala, and the Lord willing, she will board the plane on Tuesday morning, and we'll head to Denver, Colorado, and so pray for her as she continues to recuperate from her surgery, and as we will be traveling from place to place, from country to country, within the next 2 months. Lord willing, she will arrive into the country on Tuesday, and then we will meet with a couple of congregations on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday morning, Lord willing, we will board the plane once again, and we will head to Poland. And we'll be in Poland for about a week, and then from there we will go over to Germany to work with the church retreat there. And then we'll come back to the... My time's up already. Wow, that was pretty quick. Well, let's just do the invitation song, and we'll all go home into the potluck. So, Kurt, you told me I had more time than that, okay? No, seriously, keep us in your prayers as we travel. And then, Lord willing, in January, we'll return back to Guatemala, where we'll begin a new season of service for the Lord there. And we know you, likewise, will begin that season of service for the Lord here for 2017 as we serve God together. Okay, those are preliminary remarks, okay? So you can start your watches now. It's not going to do you any good, but you can start them anyway if it makes you feel better. I was preaching in a gospel meeting. And when they introduced me, it's been several years ago, they introduced me. I was serving with the church in Beaumont, California. And when they introduced me in the first lesson, they said, well, our preacher for this week is coming to us from Beaumont. And so I got up, preached, and made a couple of comments about where I was from. I brought greetings from the Beaumont Church of Christ, located in Beaumont, California. Now, when the lesson was over, I was standing in the back. One man came out, and a fairly large man, tall man, real tall man, in fact, loud man. And he walked up to me and took my hand. Of course, we're used to hearing things like, fine job, excellent lesson. When I woke up, you were still preaching. We're used to hearing stuff like that. This man walked out, And I got to get used to this thing here on my. He walked out and he said, he looked me eye to eye and took my hand. And he said, "Brother Jones, I thought you were worth something." That was his very words. And I thought I was worth something too. You know, I looked at him and he said, "Yes, and I actually thought you were worth something," said. "Because when they got up here and introduced you," said, "they said you were from Beaumont." And he said, "I thought you were from Beaumont, Texas." Yeah. And then he said, "then you got up here and told us that you're really from Beaumont, California." Said, "here I was at first thinking you were going to really be worth something." And I looked at him and he's got a hold of my hand and everybody in the foyer has gotten quiet as they're listening to him tell me that I'm worth nothing at all because I'm from Beaumont, California and not from Beaumont, Texas. And then he looks at me and he says, "don't you know that Texas is God's country?" Some of them believe that. And I had all the attention of everybody in the foyer. Quiet as could be. And I had he had a hold of my hand, so I grabbed his hand even more. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, brother, are you and God having a problem?" And he looked at me. I said, "What man in his right mind would leave God's country and come here?" I said, and everybody's watching. I said, "did God make you leave Texas?" And he let go of my hand real quick. And he says, "I ain't got nothing else to say to you." And he walked out. God's country. I read the Bible and I find out, where is God's country? Where is God's country? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12, and just real quickly, the Bible tells us there that God is in where? Heaven. We sing about God's country. Sing this song with me. If you know, most of us know this song. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest, we'll turn today, where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, there'll be no tears, dim dies, where all is love. And the soul never dies. God's country. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 115, verse 3, he said, God is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, when the disciples wanted to, they teach us to pray. And Jesus said, well, when you pray, say this: Our Father, who art in what church? Heaven. It don't say anything about Texas there. It don't say anything about any other place on earth there. It says in what? Heaven. Church, if we don't get anything yesterday, get this. There is no place on earth that compares to heaven. No place. God's country is heaven. We sing about it, we read about it, and we all long to go to heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hands. How many don't want to go? Raise your hand. Got to be politically correct here, okay? Get ready to shout it. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Even the atheist who doesn't believe in heaven, if he believed in it, where would he want to go? He'd want to go to heaven. So here is the real question, I believe. Here's the real question. Everything we know about heaven, That's God's country. And then the real question, I think, would be this. Why would Jesus leave heaven and come to earth? Are there any problems in heaven? Absolutely not. Is there peace in heaven? Absolutely. Is heaven forever and ever and ever? Absolutely. Why would Jesus... I'm reminded of the story of where one man went to heaven and had a big old trunk of gold behind him. And, you know, Peter standing at the gate, that's the story, goes like that. And Peter said, he says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And the man looked at him and said, "Because I have billions of dollars worth of gold behind me." And Peter looked at him and said, "Oh, so you're going to repair our streets, huh?" That's heaven. That's heaven. Why would Jesus leave heaven? We're told why he left heaven. Go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Here Jesus, beginning with verse 1, he entered and he was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a certain man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was because he was unable, because he was of small stature. Verse 4, and he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus," he says, "you come down." He says, "because today I'm going to stay at your house." Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, okay? Zacchaeus is a rich man, but now Zacchaeus is not a man who lives in favor with everybody else. So now Jesus says, "Come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today." And he hurried down. He came down and he received him gladly. And now people had a problem with that because when they saw it, they began to grumble, saying, He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a what, church? A sinner. Wow. Why did Jesus leave heaven? A perfect place. No problems. It has everything that anybody would ever want. Why did he leave heaven? And now here he is on earth and he's spending time with the sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped. Now, here's what happens. Here's what happens when you come in contact with Jesus. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times." Jesus just, when you come in contact with him, he changes your life, doesn't he? Listen, "I'll give back four times as much." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham." Verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that what? Which was what, church?
Lost."
Church, Jesus had a mission. Why would you leave heaven? Why would you leave heaven and come to an ungodly place like earth? There's nothing on earth that compares to heaven. But Jesus said, there are souls on earth. There are souls created in God's image on earth. And I'm going to take a trip. I'm going to leave heaven. And I'm going to be born through a virgin on the earth. But I have a mission. And my mission is I am going to seek and I am going to save the lost. That's why he left He left heaven to save me. He left heaven to save you. He left heaven to save your neighbor. He left heaven to save the people you like. He left heaven to save the people you don't like. That's why he left heaven. To seek and to save that which was lost. And church, nothing kept him from his mission. He went from city to city doing what? Preaching what? The gospel. You don't believe it? How many of you believe it? Okay, I'm going to show you anyway, okay? Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Here's what the text says. And Jesus was going about in all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Chapter 9, go there with me. Chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus was going about in all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Why? What was he about? He had a mission. What was his mission, church? To do what? Seek and what? Save what? The lost. Who's that? That's, you know what? And we say that's us. I want you, here's what I want you to say. It's what? It's me. Okay? Let me ask that one more time. Jesus left heaven and he came to earth to seek and save me. Me. He went about from city to city. Why? Because he had him. And you know, who sent him on this mission? The Father did. The Father sent him. And there was nothing out there. I mean, the Sadducees tried to stop him. The Pharisees tried to stop him. All of the seas tried to stop him. But Jesus said, no, I have a mission. And John chapter 5, go there with me. John chapter 5. Verse 30. Jesus said there, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Church, Jesus had a mission. It's simple. He had a mission. The Father sent him on a mission. The mission was to seek and to save the lost. And nothing got in the way of that mission, even to the point of death on the cross. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For who? One more time. Who? For me. That's why he died on the cross. He had a mission, seek and save the lost. Now, Brother High, where are you going with this? Well, doing this mission, how would he accomplish the mission? Because he's not going to be here the whole time. He's going to come to earth. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to raise again on the third. He's going to rise again on the third day. And he's going to be called back into heaven. And then one day, he's going to return. But we've got that time between when he goes to heaven, and we got the time when he returns. What about the mission? How is the mission going to be accomplished? Well, church, part of his mission while he was here, he would establish something. And what's that called? It's called the church. Kurt, if you would, find for me Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we read of something there about this church. Matthew chapter 16, Kurt, if you would, begin reading with verse 13, and what does the Bible say?
Now when Jesus came to the district
of what? Caesarea Philippi. Read.
He was having
And he asked his disciples what? Who do people say that I am? Read.
And
they said, now some say John the Baptist. Read.
And others
say what?
Others Elijah.
Others Elijah, and some say what?
But still others.
Others say what? You Jeremiah, read on.
Or one of the prophets.
Oh, one of the prophets. You could just be anybody.
But they said to Jesus.
But now Jesus said what? Jesus wanted to be personal. What did he say?
He said to them.
But he said to them what?
But who do you say
that I am?
Simon Peter answered.
And Simon Peter spoke up. What did he say? He said,
You are
the Christ. What? The Son
of the living God.
And then what did he say to them?
And Jesus said to him.
Blessed are you, what read?
Simon Bar-Jonah.
Simon Bar-Jonah. What?
Because flesh.
Flesh and blood is what? Has not revealed this to you, but read.
But my Father who is.
But the Father. Now remember, who sent Jesus on the mission? Who sent it? The Father did. But my Father in heaven has done what? Revealed this to me. Read.
I also say to you that
what?
You are Peter.
You are Peter. And what?
And
now this rock, church, all of us know this pretty much. Somebody might be visiting. On this rock is the confession that Jesus, that Peter just made. And that confession is, you are the Son of the living God. Now, on that confession, I'm going to do what, Kirk?
I will build my church.
Read.
And the gates of Hades.
Here's what he's saying. I'm going to build my church, and nothing is going to stop it. And then what did he say?
I will give you the keys.
I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And what would hurt?
Whatever you find on earth.
Here's what Jesus is saying. Whatever's already been laid out is what you're going to teach. It's already been planned. Why? Because Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 predicted that the church is going to come about. The church was predicted long before it happened. And then here in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is making a promise. It's going to happen. And then we go over to Acts chapter 2. And most of us know that text by heart. What takes place in Acts chapter 2? Peter does what? Peter preaches what? The first what? Gospel sermon. Acts chapter 2, he preaches the first gospel sermon. And then Acts chapter 2, around verses 36, 37, the people there begin to ask a question. What do we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. We skip down to Acts chapter 2 and we go to around verse 47. And we're going to find there that the Lord added to their number. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being what? Saved. Church, remember what Jesus came to do? Jesus came to do what? Seek and to save. Save the lost. Jesus had a mission. The mission of the Father. Nothing was going to stop that mission. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus went back to heaven. Jesus is coming back. What is he coming back for? What's he coming back for? Ephesians chapter 5. What's he coming back for? He's coming back for his what? He's coming back for his bride. The bride is what? The church. Now, how do we hook all this together? Here's how we hook it all together. We hook it all together because Jesus went to heaven, but Jesus didn't leave the mission incomplete. He promised a church. Acts chapter 2, that church came about. But now before Jesus left, Jesus said, I have a mission. But listen to me, disciples. I'm going to give you a, are you familiar with this word? Commission. You've heard that word? And we call it the great what? Commission. In other words, I'm going to invite you in to be a part of my mission. Kirk, find for me Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 19. Matthew chapter 20. In fact, back up to verse 18. And what does the text say there?
Jesus came up and spoke to them saying.
And what did he say?
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always.
Okay. We've got the mission of Jesus. Now here's what we have. We have what we call the great what, church? Commission. Where Jesus is inviting his disciples. He said, now, when you read this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the command here? What's in this verse here? What's the command? Okay. Now, every time I've read this, and every time I've been asked a question, I actually teach in a Bible school, okay? Yeah, I'm a Bible school professor. Yeah, I'm one of them. And I've always said, what's the command here? And everybody goes, go is the command. And I've always said, go is the command. Church, now, let me tell you what, are you ready for this? And I had to write it down so I wouldn't forget it. Go is actually, now listen, verb, participle, aorist, passive, nominative. You want to say that with me? Yeah. That's go. And actually, somebody would say, well, then it's baptizing. It's teaching. Well, those words are actually, listen, they're actually verb, participle, present, active, nominative. You with me? You writing that down? Okay. I had to write it down so I can remember. The phrase here is, the imperative here is make disciples. And I didn't know that for a long time. I was actually taking a class at Fried Hardeman, and when the teacher pointed, the actual command is make disciples. It could be, you know, it could be better translated instead of go, therefore, it could be translated as you go. In other words, disciples, it should be just a natural part of you. Just like Jesus. Jesus didn't have to be told to go. As Jesus went, he taught, he preached, he healed, he helped. As he, what am I saying? Church, whenever they're invited to come and be a part of the mission, Christ is saying here, no. It should be a part of you. As you go, make disciples. And church, the early church took this seriously. I believe they actually read it like this. I believe they actually heard when Jesus said, go into all the world. They actually heard him say, as you're going into all the world, preach. As you're going into all the world, make disciples. And they took it seriously. That's why our text today, Kurt, Acts chapter 8. We had that just a few moments ago. Acts chapter 8. Our text today, we heard about our early brethren and what they were being faced with. They were being faced with persecution. They were being faced with being put to death. What did they do? Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. What's the text say, Brother Kirk?
Paul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death.
Read. And in verse 3, look at what's taking place. Read for us.
But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison,
Now, therefore, those what, Brother Kirk? Those who have been scattered abroad, read. They went about complaining. This shouldn't be happening to us. We're God's people. This shouldn't be going happening to us. Everybody should be treating us right. Now, Kurt, read it one more time. Maybe I misunderstood you. Those what?
Those
who had been scattered abroad did what?
Went about
hiding everywhere. They said if we hide a little while, then later on we can come out of hiding and we'll be okay. Is that what the text says? You know what? They took this commission seriously. And even in persecution, even in the possibility of being put to death, they went about doing what, Brother Kirk?
Preaching the word.
They went about preaching the word. In the same book, in Acts chapter 4, the Sanhedrin had told the people there, said, you know what, you can't preach the gospel. You can't preach anymore. We're going to put you out of synagogues. We're going to tear your families apart. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, look at what the text says. They said there, verse 19, and Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and what we have heard. Church, they took the mission seriously. Now, as we conclude, okay, everybody likes that word, right? Everybody's starting to wake up, you know. And then 30 minutes later, you're going to say, didn't he say conclude? How does this apply to us? Church, they were to go into all the world. They were to make disciples. They were to teach. Now, part of that teaching was they were to continue to teach what they've been taught. That's what we're receiving today. We are part of that mission. Are you with me? We have what's called here in this city, the Windsor what? Church of what? We have, you know what? Are you just another boy on the block? Are you different from everybody else? Do you have a mission? Because if you're no different than the big church down the road or the small church down this way or the church that way, if you're no different than them, go join them. Because here's what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. Jesus prayed that all my people be what? Be one. So if we're no different, let's answer the prayer and join them. Church, we can't because we are different. We have a mission. Jesus has called us. Jesus has called us, and he's told us it should be so natural for you. As you go, make disciples. You know what? Right now we're, and I know it's coming up. We're concerned right now of whether we're going to put a donkey in the White House or whether we're going to put an elephant in the White House. And that's what we're going to get. Yeah. We're going to get one of the two, a donkey or an elephant. I'm not here to preach about the election, but it's coming up Tuesday. I've already voted. But what are we going to do? We're going to put a donkey in there, we're going to put an elephant in there. That's where we're going to go. But church, don't miss this. Let's vote. And let's put the person in that we believe will be the best person for the United States. Let's do that. I encourage everybody to vote, but my sermon's not about voting. Here's what I'm talking about this morning. I don't care who sits in the White House. I don't care if it's a man. I don't care if it's a woman. I don't care if it's a black person. I don't care if it's a white person. I don't care who sits in the White House. I hope it's the best person for the job. But let me tell you something. The White House has never been called upon by God to do for the United States what the church has been called on to do. Never. Never. You know why a lot of things are taking place? And I'm not saying this to make you mad at me, and I'm not saying, but I travel a lot, I see a lot. You, church, we've got a mission, and we've lost it. We've forgotten about it. We're singing, "Lead me to some soul today." And Jesus is saying, "What else can I do? What else can I do? You would work last week. How many opportunities did you have? You were in school last week. How many opportunities did you have? You went to the mall last week. How many opportunities did you have? You went to Walmart, and Lord knows there's lots of opportunities in Walmart. Some of us, we're busy singing, standing on the promises while we're sitting on the premises. Church, as you go, make disciples. Jesus said, "I left heaven and I came to earth to seek and to save the lost. I established a church while I was there. I made a promise to establish a church while I was there." Acts chapter 2, that church came into existence. And here you are in November the 6th, 2016. And you're sitting in a building representing my church. But what are you doing outside of the building? Church, Satan has taken over some of us. We're listening to lies now. I mean, you know what? The Supreme Court is legalizing this. They've legalized that. We've got this going on. We can't pray here. We can't do this. We can't. You know, church. And your neighbor's lost. We've got this attitude of, who's a missionary? Who's a missionary? You know what? One time I was introduced before 3,000 people, and they said, "We have a real, bona fide, genuine missionary with us today." And I looked back. Church, I'm a missionary. And so are you. You know why? Because the definition of a missionary is somebody on foreign soil. Somebody on soil that's not his home. Is this your home? Is this your home? And if you say yes, that's because you haven't read Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 there tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Who's a missionary? Who has a mission? I do. You do. I'm done this morning. I just want to encourage you.
Jesus left heaven. Why? See? And you say, who?
No.
Is he going to say? And then he said, I'm going to go about, and you know what? I'm going to hang out with sinners. But I'm going to touch them. I'm going to touch them. I'm going to change them. I mean, I'm only going to be with a tax collector for a few minutes. And then he's going to be saying things like, Lord, if I defrauded anybody, I'm gonna give it all back to the Lord four times what I've taken from him. That's the effect I'm gonna have. But I'm gonna build a church. Now, before I go to heaven, I'm gonna look at my disciples. I'm gonna say, I have a mission, but I'm gonna give you a commission. I'm gonna invite you to be a part. And then from that day forward, you and all of the Christians that will come after that will be part of that mission. And here we are. What are you doing? Is Windsor Church of Christ better off because you're a member of Windsor? Or is Windsor just, well, that's just okay, girl? What are you doing with mission? Are you a missionary? Or have you made your home here? I know some people who have worked 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week. But they don't have 1 hour to give to God. Somewhere along the line, they've lost track of where home is. This morning, we're going to sing an invitation song, and maybe there's someone in this audience that you're not a Christian. Some young person, some middle-aged person, some older person, you need to obey the gospel. You need to accept the Lord's invitation to be part of the mission. You can do that this morning, come and believe in that He is, repenting of your sins, making that sweet confession that you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and then you bury Him in the watery grave of baptism. You can do that this morning, and you'll go down into the water, you'll come up, and you'll go down an old person, you'll go up a new person. A new person is called a Christian. And a Christian is someone who's Christ-like. Someone who's Christ-like is someone who's part of His mission. Maybe there's someone in this audience this morning, you've done those things, but you have not been faithful to the mission. You might have been faithful to church attendance. You might have been faithful to taking the Lord's Supper. You might have been faithful to giving up your means, but have you been faithful to the mission? Because Jesus said, as you go, make disciples. We have a mission. Whatever the United States does, whatever who's in Congress, whatever who's in the White House, whatever they do, it doesn't change the church's mission. It might enlarge it. It might make it much greater, but still our mission is to seek and to save. The lesson is yours. You have a mission? Are you part of a mission? The mission is God. No one needs to respond this morning. No one needs to come to Jesus this morning. Don't stand and just stand. But stand with conviction. Jesus, please come to this morning. We invite you to do so as the government said.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation, sea and above. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations firm as eternal throne, nor wars nor desolation shall ever stone. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within his pearly portals, angelic army sing.
Anyone need to come to Jesus this morning?
With glorified immortals, the praises of its King.
O Zion, lovely Father.
O Zion, Zion,
I long thy gates to
see. I long thy gates to see.
O Zion,
Zion,
God bless you this morning. If you don't remember anything else, you don't remember my name, or remember anything else, but remember this. Windsor Church of Christ is here for a purpose. You have a mission. I don't give you that mission. Jesus gave you that mission. And one day, he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's coming for his church. And you're part of that church. But he's going to have a question for you. And the question's going to be, what did you do with the mission? My command to you was, as you go, make disciples. God bless you.
Wow. How do I follow that up? That was awesome. And I appreciate it. And I'm pretty sure everybody else does too. Thank you. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, our Father, we come before you, thanking you for our brother Byron being with us, for him inspiring us as we go out into this world. And we talk to those, preach to those, and help those that are in need of your word. As we fulfill that mission, help us that we can do so with cheerful heart, and that we can be answering that question when we see you in heaven. Father, we are heavy-hearted, knowing that there are numbers of in our midst that need your assistance, and that need your assistance as we come to you now, thinking of those and praying about those, the Reinhardt family, for Alan, for Kurt, for Travis, for Bea, for Eva, Jerry, Jesse, Christina, and those that are serving in the armed forces, be with them, protect them. And we also come to you also thinking of Norma as she's taken a drastic fall. And we'd ask that you be with each and every one of those that were mentioned, helping them throughout this life, helping us throughout this life, helping us as we regain confidence in knowing and applying that knowledge in our lives, that you are always with us, that you are always abiding within. Bless this time that we have, and bless this time in which we can go forth into this world and preach your gospel. Bless this, our congregation, and may love continue to abide within it as we walk this life looking for more that need your help. We come to you on bended knee, offered in this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Dude, did you get all the slime?